Love is the beginning of knowledge. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Love is the beginning of knowledge. Well, that makes an interesting statement for us to consider. How can love be the beginning of knowledge? Well, all things exist. There is nothing new added in the universe. There is no new thought. There is no new idea. There is no new concept in the universe. There is only that which is and always was and always will be. And we draw upon that which is to cause our world to have diversity to it, to have our world have imagination to it, to have our world have something that is exciting. I was just writing a statement here for the New Thought community, and they've asked me to be on a committee in which they are coming up with a definition of New Thought or a sales pitch for New Thought. Well, I'm not looking at it from a sales pitch idea. I'm looking at it for the definition. And I have said here, New Thought is an environment of religious organizations with an essentially common belief structure. It believes that there is one eternal God, one creative cause, one mind, which created all existence and non-existence. This mind created all as an expression of its ideal self, with the opportunity of its creation to live in their temporary illusion or to express its original purity and integrity. From this central theme, its members have a diversity of teachings. Now, we would say that knowledge is details. Knowledge are facts. Knowledge are things like that. All that knowledge exists. All the knowledge exists. But it's love that routs it out. Love that opens it up. Philosophy is, or metaphysics, is the love of wisdom. You know, philosophy is the love of wisdom. Yeah. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. Philosophy is the love of wisdom, the love of thinking. And, of course, wisdom is based upon knowledge. It's based upon information. It's based upon truths. And if you can take those truths back far enough, you can take them back beyond the limitations that they bring forth, and you talk in the absolute. And when you talk in the absolute, you cut out a majority of the population because they want to think in something other than the absolute. And you see, getting right down to the nubbin here, humanity wants to think in the past and the future. Divinity thinks only in the present. Now, how could humanity skip the present? Every question you ask humanity, every question you ask yourself too here, among our thinking here, is in relation to the past or the future. It has nothing to do with the now. It has nothing to do with the awareness of now. In fact, we don't even understand what now means. We don't even understand that now means just this fraction of a flicker of a second now, and it has nothing to do with the second before or second after. And if we can train ourselves to live in that now, then we, by exercising the love of wisdom, we will find that the love of knowledge, we will find that all of this information is readily at our fingertips, readily at our hand, because we know it all right now. We know everything that we could ever want to know right now. There's nothing new under the sun. We've been told that by poets and by philosophers and by scientists and by everyone. There's nothing new under the sun. We are merely revealing all that is already within us. Now, the love of knowledge should be the love of revealing all that that's within us right now. And if we love to reveal that which we are within, how do we go into that storehouse? You know, who's got the key? Or maybe it's, I don't think it's locked. But how do we get into that storehouse? It's just like we spoke this morning about the diamond. The diamond is so jaded with coverings of dirt and other things, and you don't know it's there. But a engineer, a professional, a diamondologist or a geologist knows what stone areas have within them diamonds. And if you don't have that stone area, you just don't have diamonds. You may have gold or copper or other things, but you don't have diamonds. Now, if that has diamonds in it and you look for them, you can accidentally bump onto them occasionally. But it takes geologists, someone who's really studied in looking for rocks and understanding rocks, to know which rocks produce diamonds or which rocks have diamonds within their core. And so when you know that, then you know how to go about it. Now, let's just say that we want to be a geologist. So we go to school and we learn all about the structure of rocks, how they're composed, how they are formed originally with the magnum layers beneath the ground, and how they're spewed out onto the surface of the earth, and how they're spread all over in various forms and various dimensions, and that many things, certain areas, had more compression going on beneath the earth's surface than others, because others had different types of soil content. And so these different compression areas of the surface compress the soil, compress the rocks, compress things to create the diamonds. And the diamonds are created by compressed matter. It's actually compressed atoms. And these compressed matter or compressed atoms bring out this rock-hard diamond that can scratch a piece of glass, and that's very difficult to cut and facet. But it's there. So you have learned to be a geologist. You have learned to discover the minerals underneath the earth's surface. Now, what makes you think you're going to know when you come to a diamond area? You know what science tells you is necessary for an area to have diamonds that had formed in it. You know where that is. And they know all over the earth where that is. They have done aerial photographs underneath the ground, believe it or not, telling what's under the ground, what type of rock structure is there, what type of underlay there is. And scientists have all this information. And so here you are, a geologist now, and you want to find diamonds. Well, you can find the rock structure in which the diamonds are, but you may not find the diamonds, because the diamonds are hidden in the rock structure, and the rock structure is like a cocoon. A shell or cocoon around the diamond, and you can't know it's in there for sure. It's just like a geode. You don't know which rock has a geode inside of it with all those beautiful shining crystals inside of it. When you open it up, it looks like a cavern, you know. Beautiful. Well, all the schooling that the geologist gets does not assure him he's going to be a good diamondologist, a good person to study for diamonds. Because it takes something special to be a good person to study diamonds. Now, if you find your home and there's nobody home and you want to go in your home and you don't listen within, you won't get in your home. But if you listen within, you'll say, oh yeah, I left the basement window unlocked. Oh yes, the window in my room is unlocked. I'll get the ladder from the garage and climb up there and crawl in. Oh yeah, you see, you're listening within. You're listening to the divine within, which knows all the answers. Very logical, very reasonable, and very unlogical and very unreasonable. You see?
And you can crawl through the doggy dog.
Yeah. You can crawl through the doggy dog. That's the point, too, if your shoulders are small enough and twist your body. But in my house, you can get through the doggy dog quite easily. It's made for Rex, the big boy. Okay. So, if you do not listen to the divine within you, as you're searching for diamonds, you will not find them. If you do not intuitively know right where it is and go right to it, you're in the right area, you're in the right formation of rocks and stone and ground, but that doesn't put you with the diamonds. It's just like when you're searching for gold. People mine for gold and mine for gold, and they make their mine and they do such deep things, and they know it's there, but they don't listen within. Because if they would listen within, they would say, it is 2 inches to the right, you know? 2 inches to the right. And so some other person comes along after you've given up, and they dig 2 inches to the right, and they find this bonanza, and they say, wow, this is so nice of this guy to make this hole for me, you know? Now I can just, you know, cut in there and take it out. But how did that guy find it? He listened. He could have just gone straight in, drilling away, and maybe gone to the left even, where there's no gold. But having gone to the right, he found that vein of precious gold, and he listened. But he listened. Now, you have been to school, you have learned all the rules, and you've learned all the things that anyone can teach you or share with you. And then you say, all right, now, I'm on my own. I'm going into introspection. How do I get into introspection? Oh, my, how do I get into introspection? I know everything. I know all this stuff. I know all the rules. I know the courses. I know the books. I know everything that I've been taught. But how do I get into introspection? Well, obviously, you don't know everything you've been taught. Because what you've been taught is to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that the divine in you knows exactly what you are looking for, whatever it may be. The divine in you knows it. This is what introspection teaches you. And then you listen to the divine in you in introspection. You shut up talking. You listen to the divine in you and let it reveal the wonderful majesty of information that you're interested in. Not the secrets. They're not secret. They're only secret for someone who isn't going there in the right way. And even then they're not secret because they're out in the open. Anyone can go there. Now, what is it you want to do? Do you want to find these? Well, just realize that love is the beginning of knowledge. With this love, knowledge just takes off like a boomerang, like a rocket. And with this love, respect for your intuitive self, for your listening to your introspection, listening to the divine in you speak, with your love of that divine and realizing it is not making mistakes. It's telling you the truth. And you listen, and then you follow it. You see, most of the time you say, oh, come on now, 2 inches to the right is where the vein is. That's so silly. I mean, that's too far to be good. And the divine instantly stops talking to you about it. It is not going to encourage you to think in a direction that you disbelieve it. You understand? Mm-hmm. So then somebody else comes along. And somebody else maybe sticks a stick of dynamite in there. And the stick of dynamite blows out a lot of things, and the 2 inches to the right, it blows out too. And then all of a sudden, there it is revealed, you know? Now, it all depends what you want to listen to. If you listen to the divine within you, you just sort of scoop out the gold from the vein in your buckets, and you put it in your bags, and you just scoop it out fresh, beautiful, pure gold that is, you know, just so magnificent, it's unbelievable, or diamonds, or anything else that might be there. You see, we have a true wonderful gift for ourselves, and that true wonderful gift is love is the beginning of knowledge. And when we know that love is the beginning of knowledge, then everything we choose to do works out in perfect divine order. Know that I love you, I love you, I love you.